Welcome to Cosmic Aspirations Podcast, created by the cosmos, narrated by Feva Cristina.
Hello!
Exploring the universe in and of us through a cosmic storytelling of astrology, I want to welcome you to this cheeky journey of sensual shadow play as we claim our liberated authentic expression through expanded pleasure and playful embodiment as a new default for living and loving. Hello, cosmic lovers. It's so good to be here. Welcome to this special series on the experiences, lessons, sorrows, good cries, breakthroughs, and everything in between of 2023 for me. If you are listening this through a podcast, I just want to let you know that I'm doing this new thing when I'm also using the video just for fun. So you can also hop up to my YouTube channel, Feva Cristina Cosmic Aspirations everywhere. I have no idea how this is gonna go. I also don't really have any notes except that I went through my photo album to see what I was up to each month. But in this episode, we're covering the first 3 months of 2023, January, February, March. And I'm going to hop right into it, kind of pretending like I'm just vlogging for myself, which will allow me to integrate everything that happened this year. Oh, I have no idea what's going to come out, but we are devoted to feeling what is alive in the moment and just allowing it to flow. All right. So for those of you who might be a bit new to my world, I am from Slovenia. Born and raised, although in different parts of the countries, we've always been moving. Ever since I can remember, I've been moving around. I've been a new kid, and I very much carried that into my young adulthood, where I also live quite a nomadic lifestyle. But I think I made some kind of a record for my last decade when I lived in Bali, Indonesia, for a bit more than one and a half years, yes. And so in January 2023, I was celebrating my first year Bali anniversary. And I was living in Uluwatu, which is a little cute surf town down south. I would argue one of the best places in Bali if you want to be a part of like a bigger community. Also hot surfers. and less traffic. But anyways, I'm not here to really give you the hot tips on living in Bali. I do have a podcast episode on that if you want to scroll through. But Bali has taken me for a ride. I was called there, you know, just like with every mystical spiritual experience, you just go without really knowing what's going to happen. And I just trusted. And that's been one of the big, big lessons of this lifetime for, I think, a lot of us, how to trust when we don't know. But there is this mysterious force that moves inside of us, guiding each step of the way. And as a Libra sun, I have like 5 planets in Libra. Indecision has been a thing. There is this essence that a Libra archetype carries, which is a bit of that fear of making the wrong decision, making the wrong choice. We love options, and options are great. I love to give them, I love to receive them. But then knowing what is our authority, what is that authentic way of making the right decisions, especially when they're big life decisions, is crucial. And I'm really grateful for the tools that I have with astrology, human design, gene keys that kind of help me narrow down and really also let my mind know how my alignment works for my energetic blueprint and all of yours. Because it's usually the mind that interrupts, right? It's the mind that goes into the stories of scarcity and what ifs and oh my God. And there's a beautiful gift in all of these layers, because for a long time, me questioning my integrity and my authority and my ways of functioning, teaching, and so on. In some ways, they have burdened me from like this imposter syndrome and am I good enough and blah, blah, blah. But then I realized, oh, I mean, I have this beautiful mechanism inside of me, which is, by the way, my life's work in Jinkies, this sense of seeing what is out of alignment, out of integrity, what is not in the highest expression and potential of the core, which is always beautiful. And so being able to have this system ingrained in me can be a strength. And so how can I use this awareness to actually check in with my integrity, to not judge myself, to not put myself down and go into the hiding, but a way in which I get to cultivate and reaffirm that trust, reaffirm my authentic sense of power, to lean back and embrace my gifts and trust into the knowing. And that goes beyond the mind, but the mind is usually the gatekeeper. So Bali has been a big training in that. They say, you know, Bali is a cliche for a reason. It has a really special magnetic field that accelerates your growth. And all of the woundings, all of the shadows, everything that you've been running away from, you bet it's going to come out. And of course it did. And for me, a big part of that was my sense of safety, my sense of security. And like I said, I always was moving. And Bali really challenged me in the sense of home. Where do I put my sense of home at? And that's been a big part of my 2022 as well. And it carried into the year ahead. So I had some really horrible experiences with housing situation. And then in December 2022, I decided that, okay, maybe I should just let go of this attachment to needing to live in Uluwatu, because that's when I felt the best, because, you know, it's a beautiful oceanside. It's a fucking paradise. And I love the community that is more grounded than, let's say, I experienced in Ubud. But sometimes we need a break. Sometimes when we're looking for a solution and it's just not coming, instead of pushing, how can we step away? How can we give it space? You know, it's like, how do we cool down? And so I decided that I'm going to change my environment to shake some patterns and moved to Canggu, one of the most horrible areas in Bali, if you ask me. Not going to go into the details. I had no logical idea why I was moving to Canggu. It makes no absolutely no sense. I barely knew anyone there. But I felt like I needed to go there. And that's been such a, like, this has been a sensation that has been with me for a long time. It's a really one of the prominent ones. It's the intuition speaking. It's the attunement to something that, yeah, goes beyond. And so with the right authority inside of you, in human design, my authority is emotional authority, you know? Maybe if you're a generator, you can have a sacral authority, which literally moves your body and says yes or no. Is there an opening or a contraction? It can be a splenic authority, which comes in a few seconds of your intuitive knowing and then it's gone. And so we need to learn how to listen to our inner impulses of God speaking through us. And when I mention God, I don't mean it in a classical religious way of like this dude up in the throne, in the heavens, in the skies above, blah, 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 blah. For me, God, it is this mysterious force, the consciousness waving and creating everything in existence. It is some kind of a higher consciousness of all there is. Well, I don't really want to go too much into this right now, although it does feel important. But when I say God, it can be anything that makes that you feel a connect that connects you to something bigger and greater, the mysterious, the mystery. God is a mystery. Like, who, no one can figure it out. No religion has figured out God because it's not meant to be figured out. It's just meant to be experienced through the little moments, through the big life challenges, in the rock bottom, which I had a few this year. And moving to Canggu was one of them, actually. As I arrived, there was this deep cleansing opening up. In my astrology, the south node, which is the karmic cleansing, which is the releasing energy of all of the attachments, the energy that no longer serves, was going through my ascendant, my point of self, and into the 12th house in Placidus, blah, blah, blah. A lot of astrological jargon. But yeah, it's like this ultimate release. And I feel like I entered a dark portal where everything started crashing and burning, and I had no ground to stand upon. And frankly, I've been in that portal for many, many months. I'm going to say up to this point. It's now that I feel like I'm crawling out. Oh, am I crawling? I feel like I'm kind of sliding and dancing today, if you ask me today. Like, if you asked me yesterday, it might have been different, you know? Oh, the ebbs and flows. But yeah, it's it was so fascinating to really pay attention to the transits in my astrology charts throughout this year, because wowza, I'm not one to do predictive astrology of like, oh, what's gonna happen, because we don't know. But I am the one that brings the wisdom of astrology to empower you so that you know how to dance with the mystery, with the divine, with the uncertainty. And of course, I'm put into fucking practice with it. Big time. I'm still at the beginning of my story and we're still in December. We haven't even entered January. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. Well, a part of the South Node now in Libra is asking us to release the people-pleasing tendencies and all of like the sorries. And yeah, so let me practice that. Ooh. What became my sense of home and my anchor has been tea. Tea. Out of all of those spiritual practices, tea has been the closest to my heart, honestly, because it provides, yeah, this space of silence and stillness in which you can actually hear and feel. And those are the superpowers, practices that enhance that sense of connection to our inner guidance, our wisdom, and the wisdom from mysterious forces, the unseen worlds, the spirit. Those are precious. Of course, also mixed or paired with nervous system regulation practices, which I have also been doing, especially, you know, in Bali. Going to a spa was kind of a weekly thing or a few times a week, and doing nervous system regulation techniques in a sauna was just marvelous. Marvelous. But sometimes before the healing happens, all of the shit comes out, and that's very much what was happening. So I cried through the whole of December, like no joke, while having lice, which is a thing in Bali. Not going to go too much into it, but I guess it was a great symbol of all of like the unwanted mental itchiness, you know, coming out and or becoming known and releasing. So yeah, it was very much of a ceremonial approach of getting rid of lice, as well as getting rid of the illusions of the mind and the overthinking and the stressing out. And yeah, just a beautiful way to demonstrate how everything in life can be used in this beautiful ceremonial, conscious, intentional way. And now we're in January. Oh, no, we're not yet. Oh, I'm so sorry. See? The purpose of why I needed to move to Canggu area was revealed quite early on. And it was because I needed to meet someone there. A beautiful man that we're gonna call not by his name. We're gonna call him E. And E, oh, it was a really beautiful meeting. It was kind of that sense, you know, when you see someone and you're like, wait, like I literally stared at him at first because it felt like I knew him from somewhere. It's a classic cliche Ubudian trick of like, oh, baby, I know you from the past life. Except often it is also true when it's not just a cheesy pickup line. And yeah, it was a beautiful, short and sweet lovership where I really feel like our souls came together to heal something with one another. And a big part for me was, well, many parts, but let's say it was the first time that I felt spiritually met by a man. I tend to go for like a bit of a more practical dudes that, you know, either are not so deeply into spirituality, are more of like the artistic people, or they have like their own sense of spirituality. Like, ideally, I prefer people with a grounded kind of spirituality that is not just light workers and star seeds, and we're building a new earth and like light codes flowing through my body. Although I loved all of that. It is in the way, you know, it's in the frequency of how it's being used. It's also, I mean, it's in application of it, in embodiment of it, actually. And well, there are layers to this connection. In some ways, it was the first time that I felt like I had an intellectual and spiritual, so to say, equal, where we were able to travel into the depth together. Because oftentimes in my connections, you know, I'm the oracle, I'm the feminine who has the emotional depth and emotional expressiveness. And here it was a man who has done his work to some extent, in some ways. And that created a new level of safety within the connection and trust and meeting that I have not experienced before, seeing how I don't have to carry the whole spiritual evolution of this relationship, even though I'm not saying that just because you're spiritually woke, you do the whole work in relationship, because everyone is contributing in their own ways. But here, it was extra juicy because I didn't have to explain myself as much as I would with someone who's not so deeply into spirituality. And we were able to do spiritual practices together, breathwork, yoga, go to events that I personally enjoy, dance, contact dance, and talk about the universe and envision and la 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 la. Yet, you know, he was a Buddhian. So it was a bit of that ungroundedness and what I would call spiritual bypass and fluff. And I knew that this was not really a long-term connection because I wasn't able to fully support his visions. On paper, I thought they were great, but in energy, I did not resonate. And I didn't feel like it was in integrity. It wasn't coming from the right space in my experience. And so, even though that was there, it was such a potent portal that allowed me to question that pattern of why do I think I am just not carved out to have a healthy long-term relationship? And with him, I was able to question that and being called forward. He even asked me, well, how would it feel like and look like if you claimed it? like not necessarily for our connection, but just like he really invited me through the fears. And it was probably the first time that I was really able to feel it in my body and that something shifted. And then further on doing family constellation, I realized that that's actually not my belief. It's my mother's belief and her example. Love your mom. Respect your path. Phew. But in that sense of claiming it, the wound of abandonment really showed up as well. And I feel like I was really invited also by him, by the safety and the consciousness that was infused into the container of our relating. He really knew how to hold space for me doing my work. And I think this is like the pillar of growth in relationships. When you don't rely on someone to provide that sense of safety for you, but someone who, when you struggle and you stumble and you want to hide and you sink low, they can be like, hey, I know you can. Cry in my arms. I'm holding you. And let's go. What do you need? How are you going to guide yourself through this? Let me see you. Let me see you in all of the colors, in the full spectrum. When you feel helpless and powerless, I'm going to hold you. And I'm going to wait until you're done. And then I'm going to celebrate you as you guide yourself out, as you walk towards the light. Once you have integrated the darkness and you bring your shadows with you, you don't leave them down to die. And I think this really comes from being able to do that for yourself. This is why individual healing, yes, first your self-healing, yes. And it also happens in connections. It also happens relationally. And this is something that I've really been avoiding. This is something that I feel like my healing path has been missing of, yes, paying for coaches and therapists and healers and so on. But at the same time, I didn't really allow myself to experience what co-regulation with another human being in a safe container actually means. I've had friends to do that, but when it comes to intimate, romantic, let's say, patterns and wounds, they usually can only or mostly happen when you are in situations. So if you're running away from experiences that are potentially hurtful, well, the healing will not happen. Of course, we can individually work on strengthening our sense of resilience, emotional fluidity and regulation, recovery when triggers happen, embodiment, acceptance, gratitude, all of these beautiful aspects. And relationships are going to be the strongest mirror for that. Yeah. Well, what do I want to say about this? Well, okay. One more thing that I want to say. No. Sorry, jokes, not one more thing, many more things. But this man, he also had cats. And I'm allergic to cats. And that's usually like a deal breaker for me because I can really struggle and I have a bit of a traumatic experience around that, very triggering experience. And, you know, I feel like in so many ways, I'm an embodiment of a cat. And it's so interesting that this allergy occurred because it actually occurred after my first relationship experience that energetically drained me so much that I just developed all of these allergies. I was 17, 18 when I was in a really abusive, toxic relationship that involved a lot of shit, you know, from drugs, paranoia, physical abuse, sexual abuse, just a lot of things. I didn't really know how to get out. And so not only was it so energetically drained, the allergy reaction is often a protection against something, right? There's like a thing that comes into your field that is signaled as dangerous, as unwanted. And so the body reacts to try to eliminate it. And so that often happens when we have deep traumatic experiences. And it sometimes takes a longer time to heal it. And so here, you know, for me, the lesson is, what does the cat symbolize? I don't know if this is really the podcast that I want to go into this, perhaps in other ways. But it was definitely revealed as a part of the feminine. Where am I rejecting that feminine of that represents beingness, that represents relaxation, nourishment, fertility? The feminine, you know, that is not like, if I imagine a cat, like, she doesn't give a fuck. She is just who she is. And even though I thought I was doing pretty well in this department, I'm a self-expressed woman, there was perhaps a sister wound that started showing at that time. Which is again another layer of my Bali healing, where there was beautiful sisterhood and at the same time many things that I don't want to call phony, but a lot of the times I think in the sisterhood, in the name of the sisterhood and community, there's often trauma bonding. And that's why I've always been a little bit cautious when it comes to cuddle puddles, because there's like this grabbing energy and just a lot of beautiful aspects of tender human nature, you know, the loneliness, the longing to belong, and all of these aspects that have a place. But maybe not in a cuddle puddle that I want to be a part of. Or that's not the intention that I want to enter in with. So being aware of the subtle energies, honoring them, but also keeping yourself in check. Are they actually serving? Is it coming from a fear, or is it coming from integrity? Is it coming from love and acceptance and openness? Or is it coming from actually like discernment as well? Because judgment and discernment are two different things. The judgment comes from what is right, what is wrong. And before I was saying how my Libra is often afraid of making the wrong choice. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the different scenery of the route that you take. But it's going to lead you to a very similar place most often. Because I believe in Dharma and I believe in the natural flow of life. And there is a free will that creates a there is a frame of the energetic potential that your manifestation holds, that your energetic essence, energy blueprint is able to express and also reach beyond. But that's a different kind of mastery in connection with the higher universe. But still, you know, there is a... I'm not saying this as a statement, as an ultimate truth. I'm basically just contemplating as I'm speaking, because there is a framework within which we have a free will, but this framework can continue to expand as we expand in our awareness, as we expand in our attunement, our light, our essence can expand, because at the end of the day, what is the frame is the construct of what we know, of what is available to us, of what we identify with. And as we, I feel like, evolve in our consciousness, we start not only spreading the frames of what is possible, which is very much of what my work is based on, with the client work that I do, stretching the field of possibilities that you came here for. But that playground can be infinite. It's just a matter of how far you want to go, of how far you're even guided to go. I don't know. This is like a tricky one, because I do believe karma plays a role in this. Karma as cause and effect, As in, well, the step you make here is going to determine what's the next step going to be in a way. But even that can be not manipulated. But I guess manipulated, because manipulation doesn't have to carry like a bad connotation. It can just be twitched and realigned and played with the energetics, where you don't have to just walk. Sometimes you get to fly, other times you get to slide, sometimes you get a booty dance and twerk your way through, you know? Like, there are different ways. And sometimes you crawl on the floor crying and struggling. That's how it goes. And they're all beautiful forms. And sometimes you gotta go down to the floor to be able to go through the narrow tunnel that you need to take in order to get where you want to go or are meant to go. Nuances. We're still in January. Wow, this is gonna be a long one, hey? But I was saying about the allergies and the cats that my lover had. And it was just this beautiful, beautiful moment of also masculine leadership. And I don't know. Space for healing, that encouragement, where the cats broke into the top floor because they were usually locked down, but then they crawled through the windows and, you know, cats. And they sometimes snucked into the bedroom and started crawling on the bed. And it was morning time. I was like, oh, like my whole body tensed, right? Because it remembers that, ooh, cats, danger, danger, we feel horrible, blah, 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 blah. But in this moment, he just kind of pulled me closer and tighter and was like, just relax, just breathe, it's okay. Like, cats are friends. She's not gonna hurt you. And then I started saying this mantra, cats are friends, it's okay. Breathing, relaxing, feeling the sense of safety and holding. And be and behold, I did not have an allergy reaction when I relaxed, regulated, made a choice, and affirmed myself in a new belief, in a new story that cats are friends. They will not harm me. And even though later on I would still have an allergy reaction at some points where I would be more distressed and less present. But it really showed the power of presence and intentionality when you truly believe something. And oh God, do we have many, many beliefs that are not serving us? And so, a big part of this self-development and evolution is in nourishing new beliefs. But it's not only in repeating, in trying to believe with the mind. It has to be ingrained in the body. How do you move with that new belief? How do you bring it into every new situation? Whenever I see a cat, can I be cats are friends? It is nice. Imagine myself petting this little kitty. Practice until it becomes a state of being. Yeah. And, you know, there were different things that happened within that connection where I felt really empowered and welcomed to share my truth, to be who I am. And also, when, you know, there was, let's say, a critic towards him or whatever, he was really inviting towards that. And that was the first time that I experienced this without, you know, someone immediately going into feeling attacked and going into defense. And yeah, it's how I wish to relate when there is openness and curiosity, because there is ownership and self-responsibility, where you know that I'm open to what you have to say, but I'm not taking it as an ultimate truth. I will hear you out and I will take it in. And with my discernment and my authority, I'll see where it lands and how I want to work with this reflection. So thank you for the mirroring. That was very much the case. And that was a beautiful part of this connection. But so it also came with a recognition that this was a beautiful soul contract. And I was sensing that it was coming to an end even before it came to an end. I remember the last time I visited him in Ubud, and we were lying, just cuddling in the bed in the morning. And I was like, this is the last time we're doing this. Like, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it, and it really was. And that was okay. You know, also this like abandonment wound, even though we kind of like went shifted in the nature of our connection. How do you say? Consensually. It was him who voiced it first, even though I kind of already had this decision in me energetically. I just didn't voice it, which is how they say it usually works when it comes to uncoupling, or anything really in the relationship. It's like oftentimes the feminine decides because the masculine cannot, and I'm not saying women necessarily. I'm saying the feminine. And in this case, I was very much of the holding that feminine pole of the connection. And because the feminine invites, the masculine cannot lead and act and initiate if there's no opening for that. So in a way, my energetic shift, my energetic decision invited him to speak up for the both of us in a way, and then me confirming and agreeing and so on. But it was beautiful because it was done with such ease from my side, even though there was like literally an afternoon of me feeling sad and crying because it was poking that abandonment wound. Because, okay, well, I didn't reveal that at the beginning, but I guess it's kind of important in a way. Oh my God. He reminded me of my ex partner who I was in a relationship with before going to Bali. Not only visually, which is a bit trippy and, but in a way, the things that he was able to meet me in was something that I was longing in my previous partnership. And this experience just like put that part of me in, at ease of like, oh no, it is possible to be met in this kind of depths. Within this kind of conscious way, it is possible for a man to communicate and express himself in this conscious way as well. So it was like a really beautiful shift and a lot of healing that happened in this connection from what I was carrying from my previous relationship. And yeah, he was really able to, he literally quote the things that I longed to hear from my ex, but he was not able to. And that was a really beautiful experience to receive how the universe takes care of it, you know? Sometimes it comes in this form because I have kind of worked on it in myself too. I wasn't depending on him to say it, but it was really, really beautiful when he did. And his wound of abandonment, which I've been moving through my whole life, it's also this wound of separation. The separation at the core from the source, from God, from divinity, separation that was caused by the illusion of separation that we are separate from the one. Yeah, that was beautifully nourished by the concept of Divine Mother and Divine Father that we were both practicing within our relating, that you know, when there was like this, now I need you to do. We had a practice of dropping in, not denying each other what we needed from one another or wanted from one another, still being like, I'm here holding space, but I'm not gonna jump into codependency with you. To do everything that you want me and need me to do. I'm going to be here, remind you of your power, witness you do it, supported you in the ways that you would need, and celebrated you as you do and loved you through. Hot, wet. Okay, so yeah, when you need a nourishment, when you need a sense of stability, can you call upon Divine Mother, Divine Father, the higher force, the archetypal representations of that which we are all longing for at the core? Because we're all longing for unconditional love. We're just looking for it in conditional world, which is never going to satisfy that depth. And so working on these energetic planes is a part of the medicine, and then allowing the world to meet you in that as well, as we not raising our frequency. That sounds a bit cliche, spiritually cliche. I don't know if I have a better expression, but when we definitely when we heal those wounds. Yeah. That's beautiful. And I still carry this practice when I feel a sense of unsafety, when I feel also in challenging waters with my parents, I would call upon their higher selves, as well as the Divine Mother, Divine Father, to step in and hold and nourish and bring to wholeness those parts of me that feel separated and abandoned, rejected, shamed, dripped into guilt. So this is one practice that I would invite you to bring if it feels right. What is the essence of this Divine Mother, Divine Father? How do they feel? Where do you need them? Can you call upon them when you need them? And so, in a similar way, to work with the Divine Beloved, you know? This was very much the practice or the nature of this connection, where we weren't just meeting as humans, we were meeting as souls. And that allowed us to create this really potent energetic field between us, where the things that both of us would normally struggle with in our previous experiences, in our container, it felt like there was this violet flame that allowed everything to move more smoothly. Even when there was like a strong core wounding reaction, we would flow through it so much more easefully because we created an open energetic space for healing. Because we didn't work only with our little minds and stories and ego battles, but we worked with the higher energetics, with a cosmic flow, with a source of unconditional love that was able to smooth the edges, allowing the waters of healing to flow and cleanse. It was really, really fascinating to witness that. And you know, these kind of meetings, as long or as short as they might be, they give us an imprint. Like if you think of relationships or experiences of any kind, whether that is connected to your business, to your money, to your relationship with your parents or intimate partners, like what are those, what are they called? Not life-changing moments, but okay, imprinting, defining moments that you can lock, not lock as attached to, but lock in your DNA almost in your energy field and nourish that experience. What were the sensations that you were experiencing? How did it feel? How did it look? How did it taste? How did it make your body move and stand? The spark in your eyes. Cherishing that energy and bringing it alive into, you know, other parts of your life, which then ripples it out. So that's a beautiful note that I want to make for myself as well when I'm going through some challenging moments. And the healing with this violet flame is actually something that I've been using a lot this year because there's been a lot of healing needed. We'll get to it when we go past January. But yeah, working with the violet flame, which is this flame of transmutation. It's a really powerful practice. And There's some beautiful YouTube guidance, YouTube meditations. If you Google Steve Nobel, is something that I've been recently doing, and I feel like I've been feeling the benefits in my body. But it's as simple as just allowing yourself to be purified by a violet flame, a flame from inside your heart. Okay. I was saying about our going separate ways with E. And it was just this sense of, wow, we've given each other so much in such a short period of time. And now our contract has completed in this lifetime. Thank you so much, kindred soul. Like, wow, I celebrate what we had. Now I wish you all the best. And we're gonna check in on each other every now and then, but also if not, that's okay. Like, as much as it feels aligned. And it was such a beautiful experience for me as a Scorpio rising, which can sometimes hold on to some emotions. Like, I've been processing my last partnership for way too long. No, that's not true. Exactly as long as it needed. And it was longer than I would have loved. But it was as long as it needed. And in my commitment to, I'm gonna be with it as long as it's needed, but not longer. I'm gonna hold myself accountable that it's not gonna be longer than needed. That's when it actually heals faster because you allow the natural flow. It's the same as like with my housing situation throughout Bali and this whole year. As long as I was clinging to, I need a house. I need a house so I can feel safe and I can create, blah, 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 blah. All of the things that I attached to the thing that I didn't have that I was chasing and grasping for. And of course, it's an important part of our existence. Like, it's the survival level, right? It's the literal, like, core sense of safety. Do you have a safe home to be in? And I had. In many ways, but it's so tricky. You can have all the privileges in the world, but the patterning is still there. I was living in Bali, what a beautiful fucking paradise. If I lived on the freaking beach, it would be marvelous. But still, us humans, we love to create that drama, and I was very much in it. But once I decided that, you know what? My creation, my sense of safety will not depend on whether I have a long-term, beautiful, luxurious house or not. I'm taking this back. If I'm gonna live in a few shitty places, so be it. It's okay. I surrender to that. And well, once I truly shifted that in my energy field, more stable housing came. Beautiful location in the way that I wanted it to go, which was through friends, to feel that support. And oh my, have I been supported? Shit. This year has really opened my eyes to the ways that I have always been supported. But there had been, I don't know, let's leave it open. That energy of, feeling unsupported and feeling alone. I've been moving all around the world alone for a decade. I've been a solo traveler. I've been living alone most of the time with a few glimpses of housemating. But yeah. Well, okay. Well, January was big, apparently. It was big because I also did Vipassana for the first time and a silent 10-day meditation retreat, which was extremely powerful. And I also have a whole podcast on it. I actually hosted one of the girls that I met at the course to hear her experience. It's called 10 Days of Conscious Dying, and you can find it on Cosmic Aspirations Podcast. And in the show notes of that one, there's a link to her podcast. I forgot the name, Inside Out. Inside Out podcast. where you can hear more about my experience. And it was a huge one, so I very much recommend it. I think a lot of great, great, great goodies in that one. But maybe what I want to share in this podcast episode was, Okay, I'm going to share what happened after Vipassana. When I moved back to Uluwatu and I started doing tea ceremonies at this beautiful tea house and in nature, and I joined forces with my friend Jess in breathwork sessions together with Akashic Records, full moon, new moon guidance. So things were, you know, picking up, even though my December was financially a full-on stop. When I came out of Vipassana, you know, finances came, reaffirming once again, when you need it, you're taken care of. Just stop stressing so much. But Vipassana really shook my sense of physical health, my awareness around my health. It got me, you know, they say Vipassana will always hit the spots in you where there's the most karma. Not the most, yeah, okay. I mean, not necessarily, but it's definitely going to poke into that core wounding. For me, it was connected to the health and body image. And it's interesting because my south node, the node of past karma, is in the sixth house of physical health, of body image, of your holistic well-being. But you know, everything is interconnected, right? So after coming out of Vipassana, I realized, oh fuck, I think I have an candida overgrowth, you know, living in such a high humidity in a jungle environment where mold is basically everywhere. It was affecting my health and it was affecting my skin condition. And the food, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go, because I'm mindful of time, into too many details. But the core of that was, I went from the victim of, oh my God, look at what is happening to me, to the fixer. Oh my God, now I have to improve and fix all of this. And these are two trauma responses, you know? That fixer, the lawyer in me that knows how to get shit done, it's very strong. Like, I'm going to do everything quickly beyond. But is it the most effective and efficient and loving? No, it's not sustainable. So after coming out of Vipassana, I went on like this very strict diet to cleanse my body, which completely overwhelmed my system. And I really wasn't approaching mindfully. I was not informed enough of what I was doing. And I think when you're doing something big with your health, working with a health practitioner, someone who's really specialized in this, is crucial with any kind of detox. Because even in Bali, you know, I was doing the liver detox, the, what is it? The, not enemas, the colonic, the, what is it? Parasite cleanses. Like it is a place where you go and cleanse, but you got to do it the right way. There are no quick fixes. Like, it's really about slow, sustainable, conscious, intentional, persistent, long-term vision. It was a big, big lesson, because I deprived myself. And even though at first there was this beautiful sharpness and clarity from not having caffeine, sugar, shitty food in my system, and so I was like, oh, is this the a potential of the focus that I can have? But then it tipped on the other side, where as I was cleansing my body, some deep emotional woundings came out as well. The core sense of safety was shaken, and I had a nervous system collapse completely, to the point of not being able to get out of bed for a few weeks. I think I'm being a bit harsh here because when I look at my stories from March, I was still doing quite a lot. I was doing tea ceremonies, I was going to festivals and kirtans and workshops, and I don't know what else. I was having a client, I was seeing some other clients. Anyway, like, see how the perception of the mind, because in my mind, I was in bed the whole March, basically. And I dropped back into the level of a child. You know, as a teenager, the way that I coped as a highly sensitive being in the world that did not understand her, that did not give her space for expression, as so many of us experienced. You know, being in a family where my father was is a religious fanatic and narcissist, I dare to say, and a mother that's been avoiding and pushing down her emotions her whole life, being very much in a survival mechanism of just pushing, striving, perfectionism, da 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 da. It's a long story there. The way that I coped was as a teenager, when I came back home from school, I would go into my bed, I would bring my food into the bed, and I would watch TV shows to numb. And the only sense of pleasure that I was getting back then was from food and especially chocolate. I was like a Nutella addict, eating one jar of Nutella on a spoon a day. Yeah. So. The damage that that got to my body, let's pretend it's okay. I trust in the healing powers of my body. I'm really, really grateful for the support of my body. Feeling very vital right now. And the more emotional healing that I do, the more physically healthy I feel, even though, of course, it fluctuates. But yeah, this year has been a big cleansing in that. And in a way, I needed to go right down into the rock bottom, into that immense sense of helplessness, of sense like my self-worth, my self-empowerment, like it dropped to the fucking floor. I've been vegan for many, many years. And during that time, I mean, I was eating a lot of like gluten-free vegan cookies because it's Bali, you know. I was like eating shit, but actually it wasn't that bad. But still, I ordered a few pizzas with normal cheese, which is not something that I would do at all normally ever anymore. So yeah, really having the awareness of what is happening. But not being able to pull yourself out, that in-between feeling is one of the toughest ones that we go through, I believe. And I struggled with a lot of judgment, not knowing how this will end, feeling like I'm abandoning and betraying myself. It's that classic sabotage. But at the end of the day, you know. It's not really about what you're doing and what you're not doing in those moments of rock bottom. It's very much of how you're approaching what is happening. And I got back into therapy at that point because, like, I fluctuate. Sometimes I work more with coaching, with coaches, sometimes more with therapists. It's really what is needed. And at that time, I hired two fucking therapists. Okay. And my therapist, who does more of like the alternative therapy, let's say he's a naturopath and also does psychedelic therapy. He was like, when you are in those moments, can you find a spaciousness to look at what is happening from a third eye, from a bird's perspective, where you're not so deeply identified with, oh my God, I'm lying here, I'm helpless, oh my God, all of these wounds, blah, 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 blah. Spiral, spiral, right? But can you see it as a movie, like a film that you're watching? Would you judge the character in the movie? I mean, no, you would empathize, you would just observe, you know, it's a storyline, it's a plot, it's a scene of the movie. It does not define the whole thing. Like usually you, a character in a movie lying in bed is a filler. It's like just to give you a sense of what they're going through. It's not the defining moment. So how do you lean back, release the grip? Because once that inner critic comes alive, that's the toughest one in my personal experience. And at the same time, you know, I'm here for the sensual shadow play and the conscious drama club. So can I observe all of the characters that are being revealed to me? And this is a beautiful teaching of one of the jinkies that I have in my design, in my attraction field as well. The jinki 58, where the shadow frequency is distraction. And so often the stories of the mind are just distracting us. Even the practices that we feel like, or all of the things that we feel like we need to do, even they can be a distraction from being with what is. You just need to allow the flow to do its thing. So often, right away, when we try to save and manage and improve and change prematurely, we're doing ourselves this fate, like this, we're not doing ourselves a favor. Because I needed to experience that rock bottom. I needed to experience that sense of stillness, all of the coping mechanisms that came through, all of the nastiest shit that I was trying to avoid, that I would judge myself for. Would I judge my client? No, I wouldn't. I would very much understand the humanness of it. I would very much understand that they're going through a deep portal. So why do I judge myself here? And so how do I identify from this false sense of self? Because I am so much more than this little human going through a human experience. And yet I get to watch it, observe it, experience the depths of all of the colors. So what are the distractions? Either the good or the bad, even like the fixing, right, is a distraction from being with what is, from really seeing and hearing what is at the core. Now, the gift aspect of this Jinki 58 is enrichment. This story, this experience, the challenges that you're going, the quote-unquote failed relationships, all of the unavailable people that you're attracting in your life. Not me. I'm kidding. All of the financial troubles, all of the initiations in your business, in your work environment, in your home, blah, 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 everything. When you're able to see it as an enrichment in your life, here to teach you something, to give you an experience, then you're able to rise into the city, the highest expression of this jinki, which is called intoxication. Oh my God, so trippy, because intoxication, like what comes first through for me is addiction. But addiction is really in the distraction. We're addicted to distracting ourselves from what is actually happening in all of the moments that we judge ourselves, right? But intoxication in its highest form is being so immersed into the experience that you get to enjoy the bliss and the pleasure of these moments of being alive, as painful as it can be. You know, like there's war happening in the world right now, and oof, like, I feel a tension in my body when I try to express the view that can be seen as radical, and that I can feel I can be really judged for it. And I don't know how to fully also always consciously properly express it. The fear of being misunderstood is present, but that's okay. But like there's war happening, there are horrible things happening in the world. And It is an expression of life. We are in the momentum, are rising the frequency so that less of this low, not negative, but like horrific. Oh, what is it? Oh, I don't even have the right words. Just this like experiences of life, of, you know, where we're like killing each other, where we're abusing each other. Ourselves, we're raising out of it. And at the same time, I feel like the shift can truly happen when we are able to bring awareness and love into it. Otherwise, when we're just like pointing fingers, saying who's wrong, what's wrong, and of course, I'm not supporting these horrific acts of violence. But there's more to it than just deeming it as wrong and horrible and separating ourselves from that. How do we bring it into the heart? How do we not look away whenever's happening? You know, war within, war without. It's the same. It's a manifestation. It's feeding one another. It's a direct response to the trauma that we're carrying inside our bodies, inside our energetic fields, that is passed down through generations, through epigenetics, that is imprinted in our collective consciousness. And so often I forget that a lot of the things that I'm going through are actually a part of the collective unconscious. I have five planets in the 12th house that belongs to the collective subconscious. And so, yeah, very much of the generational healing in this little human here, but in all of us, really, because we are a part of it. Wow, okay, going into many waters here. Where are we? Yeah, the intoxication that happens from being drunk on life. No, I take this back. Scratch, 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 scratch. Yes, being drunk on life, but it goes beyond that because there are the sacred juices. It's not alcohol. That's a distraction that takes you into numbing. Being drunk on the juices of aliveness that make you feel even more alive, that sharpen your awareness, that soften you into the presence, into all there is, into the connection with God, that goes, this intoxication that goes beyond the senses, beyond the physical experience of what is happening in your life. When you become an audience entertained by existence, when it all becomes one big, beautiful stage for life to express itself. And I mean, there is a genre of a horror movie. There is. And so just like the film industry, we can work on not making so many horror movies anymore. Yet, even when you're watching a horror movie, you don't have to be horrified by it, right? You get to see beyond what is being presented. In a way, when you have the awareness of what is happening behind the scenes and what this actually means. So yeah, my March rock bottom intoxicated me in not in necessary ways, because you know, the medicine, it can be healing and it can also be a poison. It goes both ways. And it's usually the way we take it that decides what it is. It is usually in our perception of it that decides, is it going to poison us even more or is it going to bring a healing? And sometimes hitting a rock bottom is probably the best thing that can happen to you, because you really realize there's nothing else to lose. Like, maybe now I can actually bring something new into my life. It gives you an opportunity to start over, to maybe open up to possibilities that before were out of felt out of your reach. And I learned that from watching surfers in Bali. It's like they say when you fall down off your board and the currents, oh my God, they're intense. I respect surfers so much. But the current is going to like, the wave is going to take you in, down into the ocean. And if you try to resist too much, like you're losing your energy and you're fighting against the flow, against the current, which is super strong. This is how you die. But if you allow yourself to sink down, allow the wave to wave through, because they're not just crashing one after another. Like it comes and it goes, like in life. And sometimes there are more intense periods, but allowing yourself to sink down to the bottom, the next current will come and lift you up as the wave passes. And then you don't have to struggle so much and you have better chances of surviving the fall. And in this rock bottom, sometimes we find the crystals and the golden rocks that help us crack out of the illusion and find new ways, new wealth, new sense of worth. Now, the way that I started to crawl out of this dark hole that was March, I feel like I'm gonna save for another episode for April, May, and June, which, it's going to be really juicy. I want to see if there's something else that I want to mention here. No, I think I'm going to leave the rest for next time. Thank you for being in this vulnerable share with me. I noticed that there is real power in storytelling, and so much of what I'm experiencing, I know so many of you are experiencing. And storytelling is this ancient art form of healing. In Slovenia, we say it's true when you sneeze after saying something. Yeah, this beautiful art healing that has been nourished through lifetimes and generations of our ancestors gathering by the fire. And so it is my absolute honor and privilege to be able to share these stories with you. I would love to hear what came up, what touched you, if there's something else that you want to share. But I also now realize that I didn't finish the story on the health aspect, which is just to say that we're going to go into the healing and more alternative approaches in the next episode, and maybe a little bit of a sneak peek. It has a lot of witchery in it. Let me see what I wrote. Has a lot of plant medicine wisdom. And my transition back to Europe and leaving Bali for now. Thank you for being here. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to share this with you. If you feel like it moved something, I would appreciate if you wanted to maybe share it with someone on your social media, give it a like or a thumbs up or a 5-star review. And also feel free to get in touch with me to share more, share your story, as well as share what mine brought to you. I'm here. Also open if you want to dive deeper through my one-on-one mentorship programs that take either 3 or 6 months. It is where, oh, you know, as a manifesting generator, I bring my whole freaking toolkit and customize it just for what is your energetic blueprint and what is needed for your most aligned soul's evolution. How do we unlock these truths that live within? And you know, oh, I love mentorship and coaching so much because the crucial parts are usually hidden. Like if you're already aware of the pattern, then it's not subconscious anymore, but it's actually the subconscious reservoir that is mostly
guiding and controlling your life. And so through all of the beautiful tools that I have, as well as with my Scorpio ass 12th house vision, we get to see through the layers. And this is what my clients say again and again, of like, wow, I feel seen in places that I haven't even felt myself before, really unlocking this new possibilities and new sense of who you are and who you came to be, authentically empowered, fully expressed through art, cheekiness, play, and pleasure. I mean, if I could hire a coach like me, I would. I'm not, like, I'm shameless to say that. Like, if you know someone who works in the same way as me, please let me know, because I would love to work with them. All right, I guess we'll end on a cheeky, cocky note. I love you. Thank you for being here. Much love.